Just some, we'll look back a little bit on 2009, and then we'll move forward. Many of us left corn in the field this winter, and we're pleased to see that the total corn production and corn yield per acre are still at an all-time high, with 13.2 billion bushels and 165.2 bushels per acre, remarkable yields. These two numbers are significant because they help us disprove two false ideas current in the mainstream media. The first has to do with the whole food versus fuel argument that still finds its way into some media reports and commentary pieces. If increased ethanol demand was a significant driver of corn prices, why has the former been on the rise and the latter on the decline this past year? Just consider, we went from 3 billion bushels of corn for ethanol in 2007 to 4.3 billion bushels of corn used for ethanol in 2009, while the average farm price for corn has dropped by 50 cents a bushel. When you see that in 2009, corn production is barely more than that in 2007, and the corn beginning stocks are significantly higher, and clearly something is amiss in our opponent's argument there. Second, the corn yield per acre number is important because it disproves the concept that meeting higher demands for corn will mean planting more acres. Compared to 2007 versus 2009, again, helps us illustrate this. In both years, we harvested just over 13 billion bushels of corn. Last year, we did it on 7 million fewer acres. If you read our strategic plan, you will see that we can meet all needs and even those of the growing markets well into the foreseeable future without significantly increasing corn acreage. And that's why we think the EPA and others need to reconsider this ridiculous false theory of international indirect land use change. Now that the EPA is promulgated its regulations on the renewable fuel standard, we hope they will move quickly on the request to allow higher ethanol blends up to 15%. Some of the press coverage has been wrong on this as well. It's not a mandate. It's not a mandate that corn growers in the ethanol industry are seeking. We're asking for acceptance and the ability to use up to 15% blends, as we feel it's safe for our cars and we know it's good for our economy and rural America. We're proud of the tens of thousands of farmers and friends who commented to the EPA on that subject. In fact, this is a perfect example how we've seen a resurgence of activism on the part of American agriculture. And we've held numerous discussions with our allies around the country on this. That's why this year we're launching an unprecedented image and activism campaign to do two things. First, we will aggressively reinforce the important and positive image most Americans have of farmers and the products that they grow. Second, we will create a more united and vocal army of farmers and their friends who can speak out against the myths and misinformation that we see so often. We've had meetings and calls with many throughout agriculture, and our state corn grower organizations have been behind this effort wholeheartedly. Also, in 2010, you will see a second round of the Corn Farmers Coalition advertising and briefings in our nation's capital. You will see a united campaign where NCGA is working with other organizations, such as the United Soybean Board, as well as in ag media and throughout the Corn Belt. You will also see a new call for membership and activism. The stars are aligned, and we have a clear concept of the voices we must counter. People like Tim Searchinger, Lester Brown, and Michael Pollan, as well as organizations such as the Humane Society of the United States and the Union of Concerned Scientists. We're excited about this challenge, and we invite all interested parties to join us. Well, the first thing, the Corn Farmers Coalition has been a real concerted effort inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., and so we are getting specific facts right down to details that we're giving staffers and our congressional folks on how we are sustainable, how we're doing with more, with less, and just some good background information on agriculture and corn growers, which seems to be lacking in Washington, D.C. The second part of that, we've got an activism campaign where we hope to get more people working on the positive message. We've got the grassroots campaign where we want farmers to be willing to write editorials when they see something negative in their local community or they see something negative in their newspapers. You know, we want them to answer back because the best spokesperson we have are ourselves in our local communities. And so if we can tie all those together, and, you know, it's much like the campaigns that the politicians run, get more people involved at the ground level, and that creates a groundswell of positive messaging, and that's what we need for corn growers and all of agriculture right now.